Hello and welcome to Mellow Pod from the team behind Not Often Heard, where we explore Sweden's competition to pick their entry for Eurovision Melody Festival. My name is Gary.
My name's Alex.
And we should have, hopefully, by the power of magic...
My name is Mark.
There he is. Sadly, Mark cannot be here this week, so we've kind of had to make a guess at what we think his opinions are. And he will be contributing in some form as we review the seven songs for this week. Shall we wait and see. So, semi-final three. You know, we're nearly there. I said, I make it sound like a torturous thing, and it's not really. It's something we enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So we're on to semi-final three. We are still in Stockholm at the Globen. And Oscar is doing a grand job keeping things running. And this week's co-host is Johanna Nordström. Mm.
A.K.A. Swedish Rebel Wilson.
Oh, is that it? from what I can tell, she started out getting a bit famous on Twitter about 10 years ago or so, and her kind of career has built up from that. She worked in social media, and now she's more known for like a full-time comedian type role, I think.
Well, we'll get into her contributions on Twitter later. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So we kind of crack on. It's not you know the big carnival that we had last week, and it's a challenging week for me, I think, because they were up against Norway's Melody Grand Prix finale. And I don't know how much there is a crossover that people want to kind of peek over the border and see what's happening on the other side. So I've always felt it's really been awkward when the grand finale of that has gone up against a Melfest Heat, and it can sometimes lead to what I personally feel is weaker songs being fielded in that week. But yeah, we shall wait and see. We'll run through what we've got. So, Alex, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Mark, are you ready to start reviewing?
Let's do that.
Okay. We start with song number one, which is Kazi Opia, I Can't Get Enough. What did you think, Alex?
It's an appropriate title for the song, because I couldn't get enough. I thought it was great. You know, I loved the style of it. I thought, you know, a bit of a slow start, but it sort of picked up after the... as we got into the chorus. Can we call this a proper chorus? Mm. I know that you have very strong opinions about what defines a chorus in Eurovision.
True,
so.
But it wasn't noticeable enough for me to actually write a point down on my sheet to say I'm not sure about the chorus, actually. I enjoyed it, like you.
No, I thought it was a really good song. I thought the beat was really good of it. I loved what she was wearing as well. She kind of reminded me of... if you've ever seen the superhero movie Birds of Prey...
Oh, yeah.
Which is a spin-off of the Harley Quinn stuff. It kind of reminds me of how Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn dressed in that. You know, she had the same kind of platinum blonde with the sort of curled pigtails up.
Yeah.
In the back, the big sort of sparkly jacket.
Pinks and blues.
It reminded me of very much of that. I thought it was a really good, slightly quirky look. She was like a walking like disco or whatever. You even noticed she had a disco ball on her ring.
Yes, that's so cool. My main note says an explosion of colour. I really did kind of like it. We've got the appearance of gloves again. I don't know what it is about gloves this year, but the backing dancers are gloved.
Yeah. And so, I'll say this, though. In terms of outfits, anything that is going to be brought to Melfest this evening... was better than the suits that Oscar and Johanna were wearing.
Yeah, they weren't. Neither of them were particularly flattering. No. They were kind of beige.
Sort of flattering, brownie beige. Kind of looked like they were wearing the dad's suits. I thought it was a good thing Johanna brought out the fog machine near the end of the opening because it hid those hideous outfits.
Ooh. But yeah, Cassiopeia, a good, really up-tempo pop track to kick us off. Yeah. And I love the kind of jazz hands choreography that they've got going off. In the background.
Yeah, that was great.
That was really good fun. So, yeah, really strong start, actually. Enjoyed that.
Yes.
Mark, what did you think?
I'm here for it. I love it.
Okay. Thank you. On then to song number two, Lancelot, Liquid Sloot. I feel like they were being a bit shady from the off with this act, because they mentioned about he forgot he'd entered a song, so he was actually quite surprised when he got the call from SVT to say he'd made the selections. It was all a bit depressing, to be honest. Because he explained in his intro video, the whole thing about the song is things are going really good and you think, oh my God, this is amazing, but it can't last. Something's got to go wrong. It's not going to stay like this. And I'm expecting something bad to happen, was what I got from it. And I just thought, cheerful.
When we were watching it, we haven't been able to have translated subtitles for any of Melfest so far, so we don't actually know what they were saying.
Oh,
so
lucky
you. That's a new element to me.
Well, that's the theme of the song, and okay, it's fine to have a bit of melancholy. You know, we can't all be, you know, happy, clappy glitter like we had on the opening act.
Yeah, we'll get to happy, clappy glitter in a minute.
You know what? Perfectly pleasant song. It was sung well. It just kind of ambled along, and you almost questioned if he actually wanted to be there or not, I think. What did you think of it?
Well, growing up, my mother always told me, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything.
Oh, okay. So we're just going to leave it there?
Yeah. No, this was the one song this night that I did not like. Lancelot, you know, cute-looking young lads, but it's a bit kind of, you know, we see a million of these cookie-cutter boy band-looking types in Melfest, in Eurovision, in everything. It gets a bit boring. Also, if you're going to have a guitar as a prop, at least go to the effort of pretending to look like you're playing it.
Yeah.
It just sort of hung there like a limb, like an extra limb, just doing nothing.
So it didn't connect with you.
It was a wasted prop. It was a monotonous, dull song.
Okay.
No.
Mark, your thoughts?
I'm here for it. I love it.
I feel that there's not going to be much variation in opinion from Mark this week.
No, I don't think there is. Or maybe there will be. We'll have to wait and see.
Okay, we're going to rapidly move on to song number three, which was Lisa Miskovsky, Best to Come. Now, Lisa is a returning artist. She competed about 10 years ago in Melody Festival and, with Why Start a Fire, which actually we have played on our radio show before. And it was, you know, that was a good track, so I had high hopes actually for her. What did you think of this one?
Take a note, Lancelot. This is how you use a prop. Like, she had the guitar. She actually looked like she was playing it. I actually thought, in terms of the kind of the whole kind of, you know, sort of with the staging being sort of the subway, like New York, and she had the hat and playing the guitar. Didn't it kind of remind you a little bit of Lisa Kudrow in Friends?
Oh yeah,
when she was like Phoebe Buffay. It was very sort of that kind of, always said sort of boho kind of feel to it. Not the strongest vocals of the night.
True,
but a really good beat. And we got our first key change.
Yeah, it was really good. I think the train background, like you said, was really effective. The way they projected a station, basically, wasn't it, on the LED at the back?
And having, like, all the background people sort of moving in and out of it, like they were just, like, passers-by or pedestrians on the street, it created a definite sort of buskery aesthetic.
Yes, that's it.
Which I thought was very cool.
Yeah, and
it was almost like It was a bit like if a music video was being performed on a stage.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, people wandering in and out. There's a bit of a narrative happening in the background. And if I'm not mistaken, I think we've actually had some live backing vocals on this one, because there is a backing singer with a mic wandering around in the back as well.
Yeah, with the sort of like denim one piece number. Mm.
And she's done backing on quite a few entries, actually. I think, if memory serves me right, she looks familiar. I think she did backing for Azerbaijan when they won and stuff. So veteran backing singer there.
Oh, cool. Maybe she'll be like the Mamas, and next year we'll see her actually take centre stage. Oh,
really, she should. It perhaps didn't excite me quite as much as her entry from sort of 10 years ago. Pleasant enough. Would I play it again? I'm not sure.
I think it's a nice filler piece.
Yes. Yeah. Mark, what did you think?
I thought, actually, this overall was a great song.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we move on to song number 4. Which is Tribe Friday, Shut Me Up. Now, Garage Schlager is how they introduced the song. Which is a new term on me. What did you think?
I described it as not awful, but not wow.
Okay.
Like, it's an all right piece. Honestly, in terms of the aesthetic that they were giving me, because it has a lot of, like, sort of, there's a lot of plaid, a lot of monochrome. It was a bit sort of punky. I was expecting something a bit more like that. What we ended up with was a song that reminded me very much of, like the pop rock stuff of the early 2000s, like McFly or Busted.
That's exactly what I put. I said it feels like something that Busted or McFly would have sang at some point.
That being said, though, they had a very specific style and aesthetic, and the way they mixed, like, the staging and the outfits and the lighting, it all worked really well. It fit their, what they were going for, it fit their, the style that they were looking at.
Mm.
But as a song, I don't hate it.
I mean,
but as I've said a few times before on Mellopod and Eurovision, for a good Eurovision entry, you need to wow me. Whether that is with your vocals or your gimmick, you need to have something in it that is going to make me go, oh my gosh, this is incredible.
I mean,
and it was all a bit sort of middling.
I mean, they described themselves as emo kids, and they put in a great performance. They seem like a really nice group
from
their kind of intro vid. Don't take themselves too seriously. One of them said that he's wanted to be on the Melfest stage ever since he saw Martin Stenmark singing Las Vegas back in 2005. So yeah. You know, it's not like they're just coming in here and going, yeah, we're doing this, but we're actually a bit too cool for it.
Did you notice that the biscuits they had on the table were the same ones that you've served before us?
Yes.
Like Eurovision parties,
classic speaker.
I know, I picked up and I was like, I've had those. Gary has had those at his Eurovision parties. And I was like, ah!
Nice bit of fika.
Little details.
It was bouncy, it was enthusiastic, and they looked like they were really having fun out there.
Yeah.
So all credit to them for that. Yeah, as you said, McFly, Busted, not maybe something that I would listen to that much, but cannot fault them. Really good performance. No dodgy vocals, really, that I picked up on that. And they absolutely sold the hell out of that song and it looked like they were having a damn good time.
Yeah.
So, all credit to them. You know what? I think they could be returners. I wouldn't be surprised to see them come back and give it another shot. And
yes,
I'd be quite happy to see them. Mark?
I thought, actually, this overall was a great song.
Thanks. On to song number 5 then. Faith Kakembo and Freedom.
Oh.
Well, now, after debuting just 2 years ago in 2020, this anaesthetist turned Melfest singer is back with another good song, really. I was getting Tusa vibes off of this. And especially in the way it began.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just pointing out the similarity. I'm not saying, oh, it's a carbon copy of last year. No, please don't feel I'm slagging it off. I'm really not.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not slagging. I'm not saying at all that you're slagging it off. What I'm saying is that, you know, we've seen that it worked. You know, Tusa ended up obviously winning and representing. So we know that it's definitely a style that is, you know, tried and tested, and we know that it works.
Yeah.
And it worked for Faith as well, you know. I thought she has the right kind of vocal style for it. She has very good vocals.
Yeah.
The reduced staging, it's subtle, but the sort of reveal had a really sort of powerful effect. The fact that she's sort of in this little kind of box, and then the walls sort of vanish and.
Like you said, freedom. That, you know, I guess it's, you know, the theme of the song.
Yeah, and she looked stunning.
Oh, that pink,
that's
sparkly,
that sort of
dress,
pinkish purple, like sort of jewel tony dress, was beautiful. It looked so good on her.
Brilliant styling.
I do have one thing though with the Eurovision rules. If it got through, which backup singer would be getting the chop?
Wow,
she had six backup singers, and we all know.
We can
that's
see
one
them.
Too many.
The thing is, they're not. They're the backing dancers that have just been given some prop mics, which is fine. But when you've seen them just throwing themselves around as dancers and not really singing, as such, to have them suddenly come on pretend to be a choir when we know it's a recorded, you know, backing track, I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't. But well, it's not. I mean, there are one or two people in there. The live vocalist I mentioned from Lisa Miskovsky, she's there. So wouldn't be surprised if her mic was live. And there's another person there who's not part of the backing dancer group. Wouldn't be surprised if he was an individual, his mic was live backing her up as well.
Yeah.
But I can kind of understand they wanted the choir effect, and it was easier just to use, you know, the people you've got there already. Give them a prop mic, say, go on there, do the choir thing. Anthemic. Sung really well. I do like Faith. And it's just that kind of... She's just an ordinary person. Everybody, you know, a lot of the other artists get interviewed ahead of their performance, and they're like in the dance studio, they're in a recording studio or whatever, and they're talking about how their music career is going and
but with
stuff.
With Faith, with it being her during her time working in the hospital, you know, she certainly seems more kind of approachable.
Yeah. Exactly. Very down to earth. It's like, yeah, this is a person who just does a regular job, but, you know, is also a very talented singer and wants to throw a hat in the ring.
Yeah.
On that. So I do like that. I do like championing that as well.
Yes.
Mark?
I'm here for it. I love it.
Okay. Now, we move on to song number 6. And probably the one I was most anticipating, Linda Bengtzing, Vierfaldi Hurrah, which is basically translates as fourfold hurrah. Hurrah, 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 is basically what she's saying. Mm. And she's a record breaker. This was her 8th appearance as a solo artist on Melfest. She has done more solo appearances than any other artist now. So, well done. Round of applause for Bengtzing.
Yeah, she's an old hat at this.
She is. And I remember her first entry, Alla Flickor, in 2005. I was listening to it. They used to preview the songs on the radio on the Saturday afternoon ahead of the show. Mm. And I remember tuning in online to SVT Radio and hearing that and immediately going, wow. That is amazing. I can't wait to hear that live. And she absolutely sold it and delivered it. It was brilliant. But what did you think of Miss Bengtzing, Alex?
I loved it. when you're talking about with Cassie about that whole thing of an explosion of colour and sound, Linda delivered it in exactly the same way, but with a specific like colour scheme in mind. I thought the whole thing was just, it was just joyous. It was bright, it was fun, it was bouncy, and I liked the looks everyone had. You know, she had that really, orange is a difficult colour to pull off. Especially bright neon orange.
And that harks back to her outfit in 2005 when she first appeared. That was an orange outfit as well.
Mm.
So I see that as a nod to her debut.
Also, they could have at least... I know they, like, obviously she had the really nice outfit. Could they have at least done something with her hair?
Oh.
That's the only thing I'm going to say. You know, she had a nice outfit, but her hair did look a bit... Well, you watched it. You saw what her hair looked like. It wasn't
I don't do a lot with my hair, so I'm in no position to judge.
But also, am I right in thinking that the part of her lyrics had swearing?
Yes, I don't give a bleep. Yes, potty mouth, Linda, naughty.
This happened before. Was it Linda who... She's done it before?
No, I don't believe so. But we've had a few artists getting in, including Lisa Ajax with I Don't Give a Bleep.
Yeah, I'm about to say, this isn't our first time with swears at Eurovision.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, it does get cleaned up if it does go through, as we've seen with Robin Bengtson. Now, I love Linda. I loved her first few entries. Her other ones have not had the immediate appeal. This one, though, was so good. Just so much energy. And you get to the... I think you get the vibe that she knows that this is her 8th appearance, and she did really well on the first couple of entries she did, but after that, she struggled to progress any further. Not got to second chance, really, or even into the finale the last couple of times. But she absolutely loves just being there and playing to the crowd, and she just loves doing it.
Yeah.
And she doesn't care if she doesn't progress. I think she just loves being there and the experience.
Yeah.
She belts it out like a trooper. It's a party song. I did notice a bit flew off her dress at one point. Well, this kind of this orange netting stuff that she's got layers and layers of. It's a bit off.
Yeah, but she kind of saved herself a bit with that, because she kind of sort of took it and was like she's waving it around. It was like it was proper a deliberate pride. Like, oh, I'm just gonna pull out this thing and like do like the whole like James Brown thing, mop my hair, waving about a bit. You know, she pulled it off nicely.
Yeah, it was nice. You know what? Looking at just going back to the suits again, Johanna and Oscar. Is it the gag that Johanna's training up to be Oscar? She's like an apprentice, so she's deliberately chosen to dress like him. Is that it? Is that what we've missed?
I don't know. Maybe
that's the vibe I'm getting. I'm wondering now if she's like, no, this, I'm learning to present, and this, I'm trying to get better and improve, and I'm an apprentice, so I'm copying you, Oscar. Okay, let's move on. Mark, what did you think?
I'm here for it. I love it.
Okay, thanks. On to song number 7. This is Anders Bagger, Bigger Than the Universe. Now, Anders is very famous for writing and producing, actually. He's been involved with acts like Westlife, Janet Jackson, Celine Dion, Madonna. So some pretty big names. And he's been a judge on Idol over in Sweden as well, their version of Pop Idol. Not a name that's unknown in the industry, perhaps, but not somebody known for going in front of the mic, necessarily. What did you reckon to this one?
I think it's an absolute shame that he hasn't taken centre stage much before now, because I thought it was some of the best vocals I've heard in the last 3 weeks.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Oh, I loved it. From the absolute get-go, I thought, oh, this is a good song.
Yeah.
This is really good.
It is so good. He had the best vocal of the night for me. I like it was an upbeat, kind of up-tempo. He really sells the song. The LED screen that they're using behind to kind of project landscapes and stuff and flying across the world. And having that, the globe in the middle of a tree almost circling around, and animals and stuff, and the sense of scale it was given.
Yeah.
It wasn't soppy or anything like that. It could have come across as a bit saccharine, but it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
It's got hooks. It's easy to sing along to on the first listen because you can pick up those hooks easily, so that by the hit the last chorus, you already know what to sing. And a children's choir at the end as well, singing the chorus. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Loved it. Performance of the night for me. I just, wow. Do you think this is a contender to win it all? Based on what you've seen so far?
I think it's still too early to tell. We haven't seen what's coming up for next week's entries, so, you know, it could... see something really cool.
For me, out of what I've seen so far, I would pick him as the winner. Because he stands out. He's an older artist. It's a solo artist. It's, you know, it's not got weird dance routines or stuff, people flinging themselves out around the stage. He stands out by being a bit more calm compared to some of the other entries.
Are you throwing shade at Linda?
No, I would never throw shade at Linda. I love Linda. I love Linda's Carnival. But Anders, there's just something about him. We said this about Tusa last year. Something about him and his song that just means it's just a little bit more special. But whether or not that can translate to a win in the end, I'm not sure. But just because of the way the voting demographics may work.
Yeah. And the breakdown. Like I said, we'll have to watch the next couple of episodes and see what makes it into the final.
By next week, we will know what the final seven songs are, and we'll have a full set, and we'll be able to judge fairly against everything that's in the competition.
We've got next week, and then we've got like the
second chance.
So
yeah,
we don't have the full list of.
Oh, not full list of finalists, but at least we'll know what every song this year sounds like by this point next week. Yes. But yeah, Anders Bagger, pretty close to perfection, I have to say.
Yeah.
On that one. Okay, Mark, what did you think?
Hideous.
Whoa. How dare you? Are you sure? Would you like to change your mind?
I thought, actually, this overall was a great song.
That's more like it. Thank you. Okay, so there's our seven songs. Voting opens. We have our interval acts. And we have some Twitter business, by the looks of it.
Oh, yes. The Twitter shade.
So, so it looks like Johanna was quite active on Twitter, as we said at the beginning.
Yeah.
A few years back. And Oscar has been going through her history.
I love that. Oscar basically just calls Johanna out for all the shady stuff she'd been saying about Melfest entries. And, you know, he brought the receipts. He had the big, great big place cards with all her tweets on it.
Like, look at all these mean things you've said about Melfest over the years. It was a great gag, actually.
Yeah. I think it was a rough start for Oscar as a presenter in that first week, and we've said, I think we said a bit of this ourselves, but now that he's had a couple of weeks of hosting and has someone to, you know, bounce back off.
Yeah.
He's sort of finding himself a bit more as a presenter.
Yes.
And I think it's nice. This has definitely been his strongest week.
Finding his feet, you know, he helped, like we said before, it helps he's got somebody to bounce off and stop the interplay there.
Exactly.
Doing really well. Okay, so we get our announcement of the first direct qualifier, and really pleased that it's Anders that goes through straight to the final. So he was leading the pack at that point.
Yeah. I've been ranking like the acts every week myself, and this has been my strongest week in terms of how well I've done with it, because not only did I like score the highest of who got through, this is the first week I've actually predicted who actually made it first direct to final. So yeah, I'm really pleased that it was Anders that got through.
And it was an emotional moment, which I really didn't expect. The fact that he you know, he started crying. He had tears in his eyes because it's like he didn't expect it. And and you'll see on the translation, when they kind of wave a microphone at him and go, "So how do you feel?" And he's like, he basically says he had no self-confidence. No, he just didn't think he would be able to go do it. He had a total lack of self-confidence, didn't expect to get the ticket. And just that moment where Faith and Linda just run up to him and hug him, and he's like, he just can't believe it.
Yeah. Also, what else was really nice? When we did the radio show earlier today, you talked about a little bit about my creepy child alert.
Oh,
which
yes.
Which I've been doing every week. Now, Gary mentioned on the creepy child alert that he feels that my creepy child found its way into Norway's TV show, Melody Grand Prix. And I kind of have to agree with him, because we didn't have a creepy child alert this week. We actually ended up having an adorable child alert this week. Because before we found out who the first result was, in the interview, we had that really adorable kid with the fedora talking about how he was there supporting Anders.
Yeah, oh, it was so cute.
And it was just like, oh, so cute. So yeah, this week, instead of our creepy child alert, we had an adorable child alert.
So the voting reopens, and we have a song from Johanna about 12 points and blah, blah, blah. It was just...
I'll tell you what.
Okay, whatever.
The look on her face at the end when, was it Sarek in the leopard print appeared on the stage? Mm. The look on her face. I think that was how we all felt throughout her whole performance. Just that, this look of open mouthed, like, what the heck is going on?
Okay.
And then, obviously, later down the line, we had Oscar doing a performance as well.
Oh, saucy man. Saucy, that performance.
He looked so much better when he was performing than he was in that awful
weird suit.
Also, it took me a bit to realise when Sarek appeared that was Oscar playing the mandolin.
You didn't realise?
I didn't realise at first.
So, after we've had that bit of business, we move on to the main event, which is revealing of the points, because the app is still working this week. Well done.
Yes.
So, we go through age group voting, and it's kind of mixed up this week, isn't it? We don't just start with 3 to 9-year-olds and work our way up through the ages. We jump around.
Yeah. And I think that was a little bit as well with the results for each of the age groups. Because last week, when they did the vote, it was consistently throughout the whole voting was it was John Ludwig.
Yeah, that was Alvaro Estrella got the first 12 from the 3 to 9-year-olds. Then that's it. Everybody else, John Ludwig.
Whereas we said, you know, would later weeks be a bit more diverse? And in a sense, it was. There was not like a consistent.
And yeah, I felt like the whole jumping around of the age groups and not going up in order was them deliberately shuffling things around to try and ramp up the tension and to spread the 12 points, because they got a situation where there was a little bit more variety. Mm. So it meant they could, you know, go 12 points here, 12 points there, and you've got 12 points, and they could jump around a bit more and crank up the tension.
Yeah, but there was still some definite favourites.
Yeah, it did feel like. I mean, at the beginning, Linda Bengtzing looked like she was doing really well. She was sort of third, fourth, and looked like, okay, going to second chance. Good, you know, it's better than she's had some of late.
But then we got like the 45 to 59s, the 75 pluses, the telephone votes, a lot of the older groups, and it was consistently.
Yeah. Lisa. Yes. So we saw Lisa and Faith pulling ahead. Mm-hmm. I liked the fact that they kept on flashing up the grid with the scores on, and it says just new in the corner, which is, means right now, which is a nod to a Melfest song from like 1980. And it's good. Again, it's a tweak. It shows that they're refining the process every week, and it's not just a case of, this is the points, and the board gets whipped away. We get more regular updates, and we get to see the current rankings a bit more.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like the fact that there's, you know, we got the scoreboard on screen a little bit more, so we could keep an eye on who was when. It helped with the tension, I thought.
Yeah.
So after our age groups and the telephone votes are all been delivered, we get our second director finale, and that is Faith Kikembo. And our second chances are Cassiopeia and Lisa Miskovsky. Mm-hmm. Sad to see Linda and the other acts sadly drop out. Do you think the right ones got through to the next rounds?
For the most part, yes. I was very much like you, I thought that Linda would have done a lot better with her song.
Mm.
But, you know, again, I was, apart from Lancelot, I didn't hate any of the entries this year. I thought they all had some kind of merit. And I'm glad that Lisa got through, because it was a good song. And she had a good gimmick and a good beat to it. So yeah. I thought, you know, it wasn't the one I thought would make it into second chance or even director finale.
Mm.
But I think it definitely one that deserved to be there. I can understand why it got through.
Mm. Yeah, I personally would have swapped out Lisa with Linda, but that's just personal preference. I can see why Lisa Miskovsky, managed to do so well and get through to second chance. Really glad to see Cassiopeia got through as well, actually, because we both like that one, so I'm glad that we're going to perhaps see that one again.
Yeah.
And Faith, really good performance, so not a shocker, really, that she got through to the finale. Wow, 3/4 of the way through, Alex.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Mark, are you looking forward to the final 7 songs next week?
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, sorry we asked.
Okay, no problem. And what did you think of Oscar's outfit for this week, Mark?
I hated that crochet top.
Okay.
He wasn't wearing a crochet top.
Perhaps Mark was watching last week's again.
Maybe.
Okay, right. Well, I think that's about it from us for this week.
Yep.
We hope you've enjoyed listening. We shall be back next week when we review semi-final 4 of Melody Festival, and then we get to see our final 7 songs for 2022. all to play for still. We could have a shed load of bangers next week. Fingers crossed, eh? Yeah. Right, thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
I'm here for it. I love it.